Hello, and welcome to the IJ Notes podcast, where we take you behind the scenes to explore the work of journalists around the world. I'm Stratton with IJ Net's parent organization, ICFJ. Reproductive rights in Latin America is a complex and rapidly developing story. While some countries, such as Mexico and Argentina, have recently decriminalized or legalized abortion, others, like Nicaragua and Peru, have mirrored the United States by rolling back abortion access. In Brazil, Latin America's largest and most populous country, abortion is illegal except for in three cases as a result of rape, when there is a risk of death for the woman, and when the fetus does not develop a brain. On September 22, 2024, former president of the Brazilian Supreme Court, Justice Rosa Weber, cast her vote to decriminalize abortion in Brazil before her retirement. The court has not announced when the other justices will make a decision in this case. To dive into current issues surrounding reproductive rights in Brazil, I spoke with Esther Pinheiro, journalism producer at Revista Asmina, a Brazilian journalism outlet covering stories with a gender focus. Pinheiro also founded the Feminismos del Sur podcast, which addresses gender issues in the global south. We spoke about advice for journalists covering abortion in the country, the dangers they face when reporting on this contentious subject, and what other changes in other Latin American countries mean for abortion access in Brazil. Hi, Esther. Thank you so much for coming on IJ Notes to talk to us today. We're so excited to have you on the podcast.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for inviting me. So my name is Esther Pinheiro. I'm from Brazil. I'm a journalist. I have a master's degree in gender studies, and I'm a journalism producer at the magazine Asmina in Brazil, kind of like The Girls in English, I would say, The Girls magazine.
Could you start off by telling us a little bit about the situation of reproductive rights in Brazil? For those who aren't familiar, what's the state of reproductive freedom in Brazil right now?
So until now in Brazil, abortion is not allowed at the will of the person who becomes pregnant. So there are only three cases in which pregnancy, which the termination of pregnancy is legally foreseen. So when it's a result of sexual violence, rape, right? Fetal anencephaly, and when a pregnant person is at the risk of dying. So this not, however, stop people from having abortions, right? So it takes them to do this underground at risk of criminalization, unsafe procedures. So unfortunately, that's the overview right now. The data shows that these abortion, it's a public health problem. It's a high rate of occurrence here. There is a real impact on health of women, especially Black women. And it's preventable, right? It could be prevented. So it's just leading to more criminalization and more hospitalizations and deaths and expenses for the public system. So just to give an update, there is a lawsuit that was recently filed by the Federal Supreme Court that calls for the decriminalization of abortion up to 12 weeks of pregnancy in any situation. So in September last year, the minister that was also, she was also the president of the body of this Federal Supreme Court, Rosa Weber, left her vote in favor to the right of decriminalizing abortion before she retired. But there is no deadline for ministers to continue voting for this decriminalization, actually. So this vote could be in person, but now it's just suspended because the current minister of the Supreme Court, which is it's a man, Luiz Roberto Barroso, he's called, he needs to set up a date to restore the votes, and he hasn't done so far. So that's the situation right now.
So like you mentioned, the Brazilian Supreme Court is now considering decriminalizing abortion for up to 12 weeks into the pregnancy after the president's retirement in October. If it did rule to decriminalize, what would that mean for those seeking abortions in Brazil?
Decriminalizing could save lives, the lives of women and people who can give birth and needs to interrupt their pregnancy. So in most cases, they already care for other children. They're already mothers. So in the country, people who get an abortion often do because they already have this responsibility for their children, and they shouldn't be punished or criminalized for this. And moreover, they shouldn't be dying literally for a health procedure. So for all these reasons, decriminalizing abortion is a health issue. It shouldn't be political or religious. The decriminalization means that the current 800,000 women who get an abortion in the country per year would do so safely with the support of doctors in a hospital. Maternal deaths wouldn't be the fifth reason for women to die in the country. And we as journalists, we would not have to fear to speak up about reproductive justice. So it means a lot for the safety and health of women and girls in the country, and also for us journalists trying to build narratives on this issue. So after all, we are talking about 25,000 girls who are mothers in Brazil. 25,000 girls. Girls shouldn't be mothers. So decriminalization would also mean that the current right to get an abortion by the reason of rape would be respected as well, which is not, because churches and its leaders of anti-right movements and people and social media pages which are connected with extremists, they persecute and defamate girls and women who are trying to access the right of abortion in case of rape.
Do you think that it is likely that the court will rule on this issue anytime soon? What are you all thinking?
We are expecting at least during the Lula's presidency government. So right now, he just started, right? So he was elected last year, at the end of last year. He started in January this year. So we have 4 years ahead. We are hoping that through his government, this can be brought up again. But we don't know. And we don't have any idea of how it's going to be. Barroso, it tends to be a little bit of conservative on this agenda, so we don't know if he's going to get back to this issue again. So we hope in these 4 years at least, because it's also Lula's government is kind of progressive, let's say, usually in this sexual reproductive rights agenda. So we are hoping that it could be a good time to bring this subject up, because afterwards we can just have another Milei, right? Or another Bolsonaro, or another Trump kind of, which are very narrow-minded in this agenda.
And speaking of that, I mean, in the US, this is an extremely politicized issue, access to abortion. Is this the case in Brazil? Is it as politicized as in the US?
Yeah, it's very politicized, and it's connected, like I was sharing before, with anti-right movements connected with Christian religion. I'm not saying that all Christians are doing this, just saying that there is a movement now which is anti-right among these beliefs, right? So it is, the topic's not very covered here, seriously, so it's avoided. Also because the authorities are unable to advance on abortion rights, so there is no much to say, right? So the coverage usually is decontextualized, a sort of kind of bias, because when there are narratives about it, there is a lack of quality of information. There is data on abortion is just all over. It's spread across different websites and platforms. So usually independent and feminist media or progressive media or just media which is trying to do good journalism, right? Is trying to focus more on evidence-based approach on the topic. But however, nowadays it's still majority of major media will avoid the topic. Or at the worst scenario, they will problematize the need for the decriminalization, like asking questions as, oh, okay, so now everyone is going to and get an abortion, you know, like as if it was something super simple to do, as if it was something that it was not going to change your body completely. So just misinformation, I would say, and disinformation campaigns, which is not evidence-based, is not data-based. So that's why, like I was saying before, feminist media and media which is just trying to humanize and focus on human rights, and sexual reproductive rights for women and girls, we are trying to do a contra-narrative against this other not-based narratives. So that's why, for example, in Asmina magazine, we have discussed a lot strategies with more than 100 feminist organizations in the country, trying to understand how we can report about reproductive justice. So this is something that journalists can do, just trying to exchange and see what are the strategies, what are the potential narratives that can make pressure into the government. And we actually had done that. And the Minister of the Family and Woman back then, when Bolsonaro was in power, it's called Damara Alves. She went to court against our magazine because of a report that we made, which was an abortion kind of guide manual, sort of. And it was actually a translation of the World Health Organization recommendation for doing an abortion, for getting an abortion. So we just translated that and we transformed in kind of a report. And access of information is not a crime, but just because abortion is a crime in Brazil, unless the three cases that I have mentioned, the rape, anencephaly, and the risk of the mother, it is a crime. So then they said that we were encouraged people to get an abortion. And but at the end, the public prosecutor's office just archived, and we continue to do our work and to provide information. But it's just to give an example of how this subject is taken nowadays.
So what unique challenges do Brazilian journalists face when they're trying to cover this issue? I mean, it seems like you all have faced like legal issues after covering it. What are some other unique challenges?
So, for example, this that I said, right, suffering from the own country, like the Ministry of Health, the Ministry of Family and Woman is going against the magazine, for example, but also a lot of hate speech online and hacker attacks due to these narratives of abortion and decriminalization. So we need to make sure that we are prepared and in terms of computer systems and getting a technology manager that we just had this person joining us this year. So just, you know, to be prepared for something even worse in terms of these attacks that can come, because we're trying to build those narratives. And also as journalists, trying to write narratives on that, it's also dangerous for ourselves. So in terms, not only, I will not say physically, but more like our image, our reputation, our social media pages, and this, it's not just about sexual reproductive rights. Recently, a journalist who we are supporting as a magazine, she was reporting on a rape case of a girl, Mariana, in the south of Brazil. And she actually now is suffering persecution from the government because she was writing the truth about it and showing how the system can be chauvinist and can segregate information because it's just gender biased. So she's suffering now a persecution on this. So just, you need to be careful as a journalist individual for not, you know, getting to prison or having a fee to pay for the government, which is an absurd of money that you don't know how you're gonna have that money to pay. So I would say it's more like legally risks and online digital risks. But at the moment, physically, I would say that's not it's not the case until now, and hopefully it won't be.
I've seen that Asmina has a lot of data resources to help journalists understand and help their readers understand what abortion access looks like. How have you all used data as a tool in your journalism?
So actually, we've seen these narratives that I was mentioning about abortion, right? So then we decided to launch the website last year in November, abortonobrasil.info, in English would be abortioninbrazil.info. And this website compiles all the data and useful information on abortion for journalists to cover the topic. So we have healthy data, who aborts in the country, legal data on people who are being persecuted, right? Abortion methods, research on the topic, journalist guides, allied organizations, sources, organizations that are allies as well. So everything, basically everything about abortion in Brazil, it's all compiled in this website. And it's a data website that we actually created to, is the first in its kind. So we don't have this kind of website that compiles all the data in terms of abortion in the country. And we decided to do so because we, speaking with journalists and seeing these challenges on building narratives on abortion, we saw the data was just spread everywhere. And it was not evidence-based, it was not updated, it was not reliable. So then we decided to do this work of going through data and checking the government data on the issue, and also with NGOs, which do a lot of the work that the state should be doing, right? So we got everything together and we created this data website to try to encourage journalists to use it and to build narratives that are evidence-based.
How have the recent decisions to decriminalize abortion in Argentina changed how Brazilians are thinking about this issue?
So we actually participated in the Latin American consortium against unsafe abortion in Panama last year to exchange experiences and narrative strategies with feminist and woman-led organizations, journalists, media outlets in at least 4 countries, right, that have already decriminalized abortion or which is legalized. So it's important for us as journalists in Brazil to have these insights, to exchange with those who are working already with those narratives and have conquered the right of abortion or decriminalizing abortion, right? So we can have this kind of model to follow, best practices to have in mind for doing journalism here with the same purpose to make this pressure for decriminalization, right? So we need to communicate with each other in the LAC region, have accessible opportunities to do this kind of exchanges, fellowships, and so on, so we can do that. We know that through history, solutions for the most urgent challenges in the world and in terms of women's rights have been achieved through teamwork, through the force of movements, of feminism, progressive media. But in terms of Brazilians in general, like society speaking, how they are thinking this issue, I don't believe the neighbor countries changed the national perspective, which goes in a very conservative kind of path, which already wants to be a copy of the United States elections, right, with Trump, in that kind of sense. Because, you know, I don't know if this is spoken in the United States, but here in Brazil, United States is an idealized country. So it's like, we want to be like the US. So this is shared socially, politically, and it's true. So it wants to be kind of a copy. So, you know, when you guys went backwards with Roe versus Wade, here was also like, yeah, this is right. Let's go with this agenda. So it's like, it gets a lot of influence from the US, you know, and so it's the first country which is idealized by Brazilians. And there is also this strong Christian conservative background as well, which is influencing politics. So public perceptions, I wouldn't say they're positive towards sexual and reproductive rights. And that's reflected in the election of Bolsonaro as well as the ex-president of Brazil, right? So now with Lula, maybe things can change, as I was sharing. So there is a recent research in Brazil by Datafolha, which is a group organization which does a lot of data here. And so part of the population that wants to prohibit an abortion in any case has dropped from 41% to 32%. But you see, there's still not a lot of difference. So still 4 in 10 Brazilians believe that the law should remain as it is, which is abortion as a crime, except by 3 reasons that I have mentioned before. So it's not certain at all that the things will change. And Lula himself, he had a very contradictory discourse on abortion. Although he's progressive, the decision to expand or remove the right of abortion, of course, depends on the Congress, not himself. But his position is very important, right? Bringing this issue up for debate. And last year, he said the interruption of pregnancy is a decision to be made by couples. And then later he added that the abortion was a public health issue and that it was related to race and class. So we were like, wow, this is true, because Black women are dying in unsafe abortions taking all over the country. And then his final statement before elections was against the right of abortion. He said, not only I am against abortion, so are all women that I married. And I also think that almost all people are against it. So it's just like, it's a still very politicized issue. So it's connected with, like I said, the perceptions of the population, right? Which are very Christian and conservative. And so that's how things have been going. And I don't know, I have a very positive approach looking at our neighbors. But in terms of the data shows the population still, it's very close about this issue.
So how do you think that abortion access in Brazil fits into the wider Latin American context and the trends that are happening, and even the trends in the whole North and South America?
I would not say one of the worst, because we know there are Central America has more serious issues concerning the topic, because then some of these countries is completely prohibited. There is no exception, like for example, in case of rape or in case of anencephaly or in case that there is a real risk for the life of the mother. So I would not say that we are completely hopeless in our current legislation, but at the same time, we are not good. And we have seen countries around us that were not as progressive as we are now, and they already have advanced in this topic. So Mexico, for example, has already advanced in this topic, and we haven't, right? So Argentina was before, then Colombia. So those countries were already fighting a lot in terms of gender. But then Mexico, which was very similar in terms of these kind of patriarchal thoughts in society and so on, and they have conquered. So I feel like we are the next ones to step in the line. But let's see, like I said before, those 4 years now are the moment that we have hope, and as journalists that we can seize this moment to build our narratives with at least less fear about the consequences that after publishing, for example. So that I believe that helps a lot. We are building narratives to show how women have been treated in hospitals, how hospitals have been closed while trying to provide those services of abortion for the three cases that I said, which are illegal. So what we have seen, it's a movement trying to stop women and girls from having their rights, access to their current rights. They have the right, if they were sexual assaulted, to have the right of abortion, but they get into the hospital and they simply don't offer that that help and that support, and then their data is just all over spread the internet, and then they are suffering threats from those extremist groups. So this is the focus that we are having right now on telling those narratives and trying to look for solutions for those women and girls.
So what tips do you have for journalists covering reproductive rights?
So first of all, journalists should report about abortion and foremost with a focus on reproductive rights, right? So no fear about reporting. So journalists should report, and with this perspective on autonomy of women's bodies, looking particularly at the health issues and consequences for the lives of women and those who are trying to access the termination of the pregnancy. And they are suffering due to this lack of legalization or decriminalization, which we are asking right now. So that means that women will not die for trying to do an abortion and would not be in prison, right? So this is the minimum, and the narrative should go in the sense of humanizing stories, showing how abortion as a crime impacts and incarcerates women massively. So who is it impacting the most, right? Who are those women? And so I suggest everyone to check the website, abortonobrasil.info. It's like abortioninbrazil.info, because there you can find updated data that I was sharing before, sources. And I just suggest everyone to write those stories based on the evidence, right? Looking for the health implications, justice implications, people who have been persecuted, not just those who have tried to get an abortion, but those who have helped, and friends and people who share the information about abortion, they also can suffer from the government. So there are many ways of telling those stories in an unbiased way, at least trying to focus on human rights and sexual reproductive rights, right? So just to end, I would say that just believe that journalism narratives are powerful. We should believe in its power and use media, use every platform that we have, whether it's a podcast, whether it's a social media page, or whether it's a digital magazine, as a tool for achieving gender equity and using for advocacy, making pressure on governments and on people on decision-making positions. So I think if we go together, working on solutions, sharing our best practices on journalism coverage, on abortion, I think we can advance on women's rights.
And what can our listeners learn from the work that you and others have been doing in Brazil?
I think it's about sharing that I said, like, if I have to say in words, it would be like sharing best practices on journalism abortion. So covering abortion. So if in your country, the situation is even worse in terms of threats and fear. So let's hear from other journalists who are trying to cover abortion in their countries, right? So for example, here in Latin America, we can talk with journalists from Honduras, from Panama, from Nicaragua, from countries which the situation is even worse than here because it's completely forbidden, and trying to exchange, right, best practices and trying to look for solutions and strategies to build our narratives. So I think that's something that can be learned from what we have doing right now, because we are getting together, right, not only with media, but also with NGOs, which are woman-led feminist organizations. They know from, because they're grassroots organizations, they know from their field what, you know, what are the challenges, what are the needs, what are the opportunities of narratives. So I think we can focus on that as well and try to learn as much as we can to do our work. And I think that's the main thing that I would say that you can share from Asmina.
Thank you for listening to IJ Notes. Once again, I'm Stratton with the ICFJ team. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, or LinkedIn to be the first to hear about our new episodes when they're published.